Grace, mercy, and peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, today, as you know, it's Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday. So I chose a picture of a lady up here. She's notched and ready to fire an arrow. And so I'd like to talk with you today about the mission of the Lutheran women, as well as the Christian mission, the mission of the church for every Christian, the aim of proclaiming the gospel to the whole of creation. If you think about Paul, he said, I make it my aim, my ambition in life, to preach the gospel. In his case, especially where Christ had not yet been named. He tells Timothy, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. So I want to ask you, are you aiming at the preaching of the gospel? You know, there's a whole lot of things we Christians can focus on in these days, right? There's 1,000 things going on in the world. There are other things we do as Christians. But what I'd like to talk with you today about is aiming at the gospel, the center of the target, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Because we can't save the world. The world is already basically in trouble on account of sin and death. We can save people out of the world. So we want to focus, as Jesus says, go and proclaim the gospel to the entire creation. So if we're going to preach the gospel to the whole creation, we need to know and be refreshed again in what it is. You guys know it, but let's center ourselves again on the target today. What is the gospel? Why do we need to be saved? What do we need to be saved from? How is it preached? What is the message that we proclaim to the world? Let's refresh ourselves in that one today. So what's the word gospel mean? If you have super eyesight, you could tell me. What does the word gospel? When we say gospel, people might not know what that means, at least outside the church. The gospel, the word in the Greek, euangelion, means good news or good message. Eu is the word prefix for good. Angelion sounds like angel because angels are messengers. It's a good, great report message. Now we need to be clear about this. It's good news, it's not good advice. Okay, so if we were to be proclaiming good advice, a lot of people think that's what a Christian does. Namely, you should do this or you should not do that. You know, we do have commandments in Scripture, of course, but that's not what the gospel is. We're not saying you should do this or that. This isn't advice, okay? This is news, namely a report of what has been done and accomplished and achieved for us by God through Jesus Christ. And so, if that's the case, what kind of a proclamation do we have today? A joyful proclamation. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, says the Scripture. So when we go out and share the good news with people, this should be awesomely joyful to you and to them and to God. That's the purpose, because after all, it's what kind of news, Ginger? Good news. Amen. It's actually great news. Why is it great news? Well, because it's a message of rescue. It's saving people. It is. We're going to follow this illustration, by the way, for the rest. The analogy of being at sea, a castaway on the waves of the waters of the world, of sin and death. We read in the Scripture, in Isaiah 57, the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says the Lord God, for the wicked. So, the world, if you're in sin, if you're in death, if you don't have someone save you, you're like a tossing sea. You're a castaway in the middle of the ocean, thrown up and thrown down and destined for a very short time before plunging into eternal doom, says the Scripture. But what's the good news? What is this a picture of? The U.S. Coast Guard. In this case, dropping a rescue diver down to rescue those who foundered in the sea, those who are plundering about on the waves, who are tossed about, the wicked, namely everybody in the world, the sinners. What does the Scripture teach? The good news message is this, that God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world. Amen? But that the world might be saved through him. It's a rescue mission. Jesus says, Yeshua, in John chapter 8, he says, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world." In other words, you're of the ocean, sin and death. I'm of a higher world, and God the Father at headquarters has sent me down into your sea to rescue you. In order to do what? To lift us up out of that sea into salvation and life so that we don't perish and die in our sins. And there is but one Savior. If you're out in the middle of the ocean, Susan, how many choppers, how many rescue divers are you going to be sent? Only one. There's one way out of the troubles of this world. That's Jesus Christ. He says, "I have come down from heaven," John chapter 6, "not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." That's God. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up at the last day." So he wants to come here and lift us out of what's going to destroy us, what is destroying us, the ocean, namely sin and death. That's the good news. Isn't that great news? This is a joy for me to preach today. How did Jesus come to us, or how did God rescue us? Answer, in person. You know, we don't have a God who's just some amorphous out there, you don't know who he is, God. He's a personal God. He created the world, and he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. The Word was in the beginning with God. The Word was God, and all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. This is the one who came to rescue us. It's the one through whom we were originally created. "Lo, your king comes to you," Zechariah 9 says. "Righteous and having salvation is he." This is our God, the light of the world, the King himself. God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who is the one who has swum up to you, Kevin, to save your soul? The Lord himself has come in the person of Jesus Christ. This is great news. God comes to you in person to save you. Now let's consider this question. What's the problem with the good news? Answer, there's no problem with the good news. It's great news. The problem is human hearts, spirits reject the great news preached. And don't you experience this? Have you guys been preaching the gospel to people? Sharing it with your neighbors and friends? You don't always get a good response. Sometimes you do. That's great joy. A lot of times you meet with no. Jesus tells a parable. He says, a nobleman, a prince, went into a far country to receive a kingdom and after that to return. But his citizens sent an embassy after him and said, "We don't want this man to reign over us." In other words, they're swimmers in the ocean. Castaway is lost at sea. The helicopter comes. Here comes the rescue diver. And they say, "We don't want him. We want to get saved some other way. Anything but this guy." The world says no. The good news they wish to burn, as indeed we see through Jesus' life and the life of the apostles, it is, by and large, rejected by the world. Nothing wrong with the good news. Something wrong with human beings. They don't want him. And what is the world's response a lot of times? "I don't want your help. Get away from me." Now, who's the crazy one? Let me ask you. Denny, who's the crazy one here? Preaching good news or the person in the water saying, "I don't want to help," from the Coast Guard? I mean, if you think about it, what's your predicament if you're a sinner? You're in the middle of a stormy sea. You just heard in Ezekiel that you're like a tossing ocean. You're in big trouble. You're about to plunge down. You're going to die. You're going to be judged even after death. It's appointed to men to die once, and after that comes the judgment, says the Scripture. Do you realize there's only one hope? There's one Savior. There's one chopper coming, and nobody else is coming to save you. The Lord says, "I'm the way and the truth. Come and be saved by me." So it's kind of crazy to think you'd reject that kind of help, but the world doesn't believe it. So when the world rejects the preaching and the proclamation of the great news of the Lord, what's God do and what should we do in that case? Does the rescue diver just say, well, sorry, see you later, tried, and back up into the helicopter? He says, I know you're not in your right mind here. Let's reason together about your dire situation because I can't stay here for long. In fact, I met a Coast Guard rescue pilot recently, actually, and he said he would fly the helicopter and they only had so much time. They had to dump fuel at times and all these things for weight, and they had to time it. They only have so much time over the target. God is going to spend a few minutes, though. He's like, I'm going to keep trying to save you. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I give you up, O Israel? My compassion, my heart grows warm and tender, he says in the Old Testament prophets. He says, how shall you escape if you neglect such a great salvation? I've come not to destroy your life, but to save lives, says the Lord. And so he continues to preach. So what should you do if people reject the message? Keep loving them, proclaim again. Keep working with them in hopes of saving them. That's what our Lord does. Notice the rainbow of grace in the background there, amazingly, as the chopper throws up some water from the sea and it hits the sun. What's the rescue diver then to say to the castaway in the sea? He has to try to convince him that he needs a rescue. And so the first thing I think God says to us in Scripture, he says, okay, you're in the ocean. All right, Ian, first thing is you were originally safe. You're right. You were in good shape because God created you in his image. You were made for life. You were like a beautiful cruise ship. You're made for a beautiful world and to live a joyful life. You're made in my image. But that's not your present situation, O swimmer. O castaway, you've sinned. Because we know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No, not one. All have turned aside. Together they've gone wrong. Amen? Anybody here never sinned? We were all castaways in the ocean. And so what did our situation look like after that? Pretty bleak. Look at this gun. This is a ship going over a terrific sea. The storm came. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, some translate it. Others can translate it this way. In the wind of the storm, God came and said, where are you, Adam? What have you done? Your ship is taking on water. You're going down. This is the situation of the unbeliever. And it was the situation for all of us. We're all subject to sin and death. And we've plunged into the ocean. Can you imagine on the day when the Titanic went down, this was April 15th, 1912, what it was like? You've lost life. You're now in icy, cold, frozen, nighttime temperature water, and you're all alone. And in this case, in reality, with no lifeboat. Castaways in a troubled sea, says the Lord. So if you're a castaway, you're swimming as an unbeliever, you're in the sea of death and sin, and what actually do people think in the world of salvation? Well, they think I can swim for it, right? I can get to land. I can save myself out of this terrible situation I'm in. I'm in sin and death. I'm in a wicked, evil world, but I can get out. I can do it by my own righteousness, by my own strength. Do you meet people like this? You preach to them and they think, I can get to salvation by what I do. I'll keep God's law. I'll keep Moses' law. I'll keep Yeshua's law. I'll keep the Ten Commandments. You know how stupid that is? To think you can get to heaven by your own goodness? That's like an ocean swimmer in the middle of the Atlantic where the Titanic went down. You've only got like thousands of miles to go. Are you going to make it? Well, people try to go that route. Think about this. Moses says, swim in that direction, young man, and keep swimming for it. Well, what's the use of that? Because if you keep the commandments, which are perfect, you could live if you could swim that far. But what do? We all fall short of the glory of God. We don't have the strength to even make a stroke in that direction, really. And if you break the law, according to the Hebrew Scriptures, God says you shall indeed perish. Perish in the sea of sin and death. And so, what's it like trying to save yourself by your own righteousness and goodness, I ask you? What do you think? A lot of people think they can do it. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good guy. Well, you're swimming across the ocean. I'll show you what it looks like if you think you're going to get saved that way. Wilson! 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 Remember that movie, Castaway? It's a totally vain hope. It's a false belief. It's chasing after craziness to think that you're going to get all the way to heaven by your own righteousness, according to keeping God's commandments. For the scripture said, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. The law actually condemns us and shows us what? Our need for rescue, our need for a savior, our need for someone to come down, God himself, to deliver us. Besides, God says, the rescue swimmer saying to the castaway, remember, Cecile, that you also are trying to swim all this way and you have sins weighted upon you. Look at this. How are you going to swim even anywhere? David says in the Psalms, my iniquities have gone over my head. They weigh like a burden too heavy for me. And if you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, Jesus says, it'd be better for you to have a great millstone fastened around your neck and to be drowned in the sea. How are you going to get there? It's too far. You don't have any strength. Your sins are going to sink you. Come on, receive the help, God says. Besides, there's a dangerous shark in the water. Who's the shark, Jenny? Satan, the devil, the evil one. For the Bible says, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. You know, Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning and he has nothing to do with the truth. He's a liar and a murderer. How are you going to escape? You know, all this is the way God is trying to draw people to say, I'm the rescuer. I will save you, but you got to understand how terrible your situation is. You're not floating around in the middle of the ocean on a little rubber ducky sipping a margarita. You got a big problem here. I just made that up, by the way. Isn't that pretty cool? He's a murderer from the beginning. I watched a documentary one time on Guadalupe Island off of Baja California, and they showed how great white sharks, they showed a video cam of it coming up from the depths to attack a pretend seal. Believe me, I didn't want to go into a pool after that. Jet black, and up comes the teeth. That's who we're dealing with. And God says, will you not accept my rescue? When this is your situation, besides, he says, there is a storm brewing upon the sea and the skies above you. What is the storm? It's called the wrath of God. You know, we got to share with unbelievers that there is a day of judgment coming. There is a rendering an account for every careless word you utter. It's all written in books in heaven, says the scripture. And so that day of reckoning, the day of judgment, the day of accounting is coming, and the storms are getting higher by the day. We read in the scriptures, what will you do, says God in Isaiah 10, on the day of punishment, in the storm which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your wealth? And we got to wake people up to the storm that is coming. There is a day where everyone who's ever lived shall stand before their Creator and give an account. How are you going to be escaping from that if you're still in your sins? You need a rescue, says the scriptures. Besides, death is fast approaching. How long are you going to swim in this world? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Your life is but a few hand breaths. How long are we going to all, any of us, last? A couple more decades at most? We need to receive the rescue when the rescuer is here. Because the scripture says in Psalms, truly no man can ransom himself or give to God the price of his life, that he should continue on forever and never see the pit. He shall see that even the fools die and the wise alike, and they go down where they shall never more see the light. Oh, isn't that a terrible thought? I sailed in tall ships for many years, and I was in the ocean, and I'd swim in the ocean sometimes in hundreds of feet of water. And I remember one time just diving down into the jet black just to see what it was like in the ice cold off of Cape Cod, way out at sea. And I was just like, I'm just going to see what it's like to plunge into the darkness of the depths for just a moment, just to test myself, you know, a little bit. And I was like, well, what are we going to face when we die and at the judgment of the Lord? For the day of the judgment comes speedily, says the scripture. Acts chapter 17, Paul preached, God has fixed a day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. There's the clock. It's ticking. There's a day. It's coming quickly. And Jesus says, it shall be like the days of Noah, when everything was continuing normally and everything seemed fine on earth until the flood came and swept them away. So shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We have a day in court. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ. And so we want to have a Savior for that day and not be in our sins. Because unsaved, what happens? Take the worthless servant, Jesus says, and cast him into the outer darkness, where men will weep and gnash their teeth. You don't want to go to the outer darkness, do you? I don't. So the sane perspective is what? The sane perspective is, the rescuer says, look at your situation, O sinner. Consider how dire this is. Dangerous. I'm here to rescue you. Receive my help today. At the acceptable time, I've listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. And behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you have. But if you haven't, today's the day. Grab hold on him, the Savior. He is here to rescue you. Again, out of grace. So what's the point of all these points? God is trying to bring this question out of you. What must I do to be saved? You know, once you ask that question, God's like, good, we're there. We're totally there. Now we're talking. That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts 16. And then what's the answer? This is easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You and your household. Just let me save you. What the rescuer has to do is just have the guy that needs rescuing admit, hey, I can't swim the way. I can't get out of here myself. I'm totally helpless. Help me. At that point, Jesus, Yeshua, comes in and says, here I am. All you do is let me save you. It's by grace. It's what God does for us. Remember, not good advice. It's a good report, the gospel, of what God has done already to deliver us. How did Jesus save us? Is the next picture here. You have the rescue diver in the water. The man is in the cage being lifted up and saved. What's the interesting point about that picture? The rescue diver is not with the man getting rescued, is he? What happened? There was a great exchange. I've come to rescue you, but there's only place in that helicopter for one. You go up. I'll take your place in the sea. I'll go down. That's what Jesus did for us, friends. This is grace. This is the love of God. This is how God saves the human race from damnation. I'll come down. I'll take your place. You go up. I'll go down. I will plunge into the sea. For Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What did he give him into? Into death, to be a sacrifice, to take our place in the ocean while we went up. Jesus said, put all their sins upon me. Look, the heavy weight of our sins were placed upon Christ. He bore our iniquities, Isaiah 53 says. He carried our sorrows. He bore all of our sins were attributed and imputed to him. He died for them. He bore death for us. Remember, he died to atone for our sins. We look over here. He actually fulfilled the law. He swam all the way to the ocean, to the land, if you will. He kept the law of Moses to perfection, to be a perfect sacrifice for us. As for the devil, the shark over here, the great white, the reason the Son of God was to appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. He took the wrath of God for us. This slide right here, the lightning, the thunder, he bore that upon himself on the cross, received the punishment justly for our sins, died for them, and then brought us back to, look, cruise ship, pure righteousness he gifted to us. And I want you to know today, listen carefully, it says all by grace. Because he loves you. Because God who created you yearns for you to live and have salvation. He doesn't delight in any man's death. Turn to me, God says, and live. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works. Your works, my works, yes, and your works, no. Lest any man should boast. So this is the salvation, the rescue mission that we're proclaiming to the world. God has accomplished and achieved it. And how do you then receive that salvation? By faith and faith alone. Look, here's the guy getting rescued. Here's the rescuer lifting him up. What's he got to do? Just say, yes, I want you to rescue me. I receive your salvation. God says, good, buckle you into me. I attach you to myself. I will lift you up to where I am, that where I am, you may be also, John 14. I'm taking you home to my place where there's mansions and rooms and a wonderful land above and a world to come. So it's by faith we receive what God has accomplished for us in the rescue mission, says the scripture. And Jesus says today, come to me, all you who are weary, all who are burdened and weighted down with your sins, I will refresh you. The Son of Man came that they may have life and have it abundantly, says the scriptures. It says, God put all of our sins on him on the cross. He gifts us all of his righteousness, credited to us for salvation. And so women, I put this up for you on Women's Missionary League Sunday. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice joy. This is a message of joy. It's a message of salvation. And having rescued us, what did Jesus do? He took our place, came out of the tomb then. He went up to be with God. And he's at the right hand of God, taking care of us even right now. So, getting toward the conclusion here, who are we as Christians? We are now partners with God in the great search and rescue mission. We're not out there proclaiming good advice. We're out there proclaiming the report of what God has done to save the whole world by grace. And then we receive that salvation by faith. This is a picture of the church, Coast Guard cutter, charging through the waters of this world to save, to rescue, and the proclamation of the gospel. And last slide is, we're going to come on this ship to a brand new world. Not America, this is the Statue of Liberty. Ultimately, to the real land of the free and the home of the brave. That's the new heavens and the new earth that is to come to be revealed, in which righteousness and joy are everlasting. God with his people, we with him, rescued, saved, redeemed, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and all sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So, final word then, let's focus and center on the target. We can't save the world. We can't save all the little problems in the world, but we can save people out of the world, onto the ship, and bring them home. This is the great rescue mission of God. In Jesus' name, amen.